We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Peter King, 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. Catch him on NBC Sports, NBCSports.com. All guests appear on the dial pad guest line. Peter's brought to us by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Visit Friedman'sAppliance.com. Today, Peter, thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if you noticed, the Niners are undefeated and have all sorts of nastiness dripping off their defense to the point where, I mean, look, even if you don't like them, you got to admit they look like contenders, at least in their own conference, right? I mean, wow.
I mean, the amazing thing about the 49ers right now is that who would have thought that midway through this NFL season that anybody would be saying, well, the 49ers are in the Patriots League, or the 49ers are right up there with the best team in football. And I think what is so interesting about this year, about this season, and about sort of what we're seeing is that everybody thought when the Niners hired Kyle Shanahan that they would end up being this, at some point, a really good offensive team that you would just say, well, let's hope they can build a good enough defense to, you know, to be a serious contender. And now it's like, can the offense keep up with the defense? That's what really is amazing about this team and this season so far.
It's like the Kansas City Chiefs in reverse.
Yeah, and look, the Chiefs are a great example of the fact that nothing is forever. And what is so interesting about the Chiefs, too, even before Mahomes got hurt, you know, everybody was sort of poking holes in the Chiefs. I mean, I'll tell you what, to me, the NFL even more than Major League Baseball, certainly more than the NBA. I mean, the NFL is such a reality show. With or without Patrick Mahomes, it is absolutely crazy that the Kansas City Chiefs have lost three games in a row at home. I mean, this is a team that's perfect on the road and 1-3, perfect on the road and 1-3 at home, with one of the best home field advantages in all of sports. It's just it's a crazy year.
Is it possible we think about the offensive coach thing the wrong way? Because just off the top of my head, thinking back, this isn't that uncommon that a guy we think of as an offensive guru comes in and builds a great defense. And you know, whether it's Brian Billick or, I mean, Jim Harbaugh here was thought of as an offensive guy. Is it possible that maybe the right way to do this thing is, if you are an offensive head coach, go all in on defense, because the offense you'll be able to figure out, the defense you're going to need personnel.
I think it's exactly the same thing that Bill Belichick has done over the years. How many great defensive players has he had over the years? Think about it. I mean, how many Hall of Fame defensive players will be elected from a Patriots team that won six Super Bowls? I mean, that doesn't even count what they did this year, but how many? Tell me. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's possible that it'll be none. And that is Bill Belichick's genius. That, look, a long time ago, and it might have been maybe 2002 or 3, Bill Belichick went to the NBA scouting combine in Chicago. And I'm not sure it's called the scouting combine. All the NBA people in the audience will understand.
It is now, but yeah, it didn't used to be.
Yeah, whatever it is. So he went there, and he went there to meet Jerry West. And Jerry West told Bill Belichick, essentially, you know, you guys have a salary cap, you know. You cannot get married to any single player. You have to be willing and ready to get rid of players and replace them with no names, basically. I think Belichick already knew that, but I think that was a great reinforcement that Jerry West basically said to him what exists this year. And what exists this year is that, you know, we can talk about all the great defensive players in the league right now, but one of the guys who is, I'd say, 3, 4, 5 most important players in the NFL, right, defensive players in the NFL, is a guy named Kyle Van Noy, who the New England Patriots got for the swap of a 6th and 7th round pick a couple of years ago with Detroit. And in the last, I'd say, 20 games for New England, you could argue Dante Hightower, you could argue Stephon Gilmore, maybe you could argue Devin McCourty. I would argue that their best defensive player over the last year plus has been a guy who they picked up for absolute peanuts in a trade from Detroit named Kyle Van Noy.
Why then, when Belichick calls, does anybody ever answer?
Well, because Detroit doesn't want Kyle Van Noy anymore.
I understand Detroit because he's got Matt Patricia as his mole, but in general, if you're a general manager talking to another...
I understand your point. Yeah. I understand it. But there's a lot of people who play either a different defense or who have grown tired of the guys who Belichick is seeking. And that is one of the things that Belichick sort of figures out. He figures out, here are the guys who I think are undervalued around the league. And look, Ray, it doesn't work every time. Do you remember when the Patriots traded Chandler Jones to Arizona? And I think they got a 2 in return, plus they got a guard named Jonathan Cooper. And everybody said, Belichick is finally going to get to the bottom of Jonathan Cooper, who was like the 9th pick in the draft by the Cardinals. And I'm going to guess it's 2014, 15, something like that. But he had been an abject failure. Well, Belichick couldn't get to the bottom of Jonathan Cooper, and he cut him. But all I'm saying is that it doesn't work with every guy with Belichick, but it works with a bunch of them.
It's amazing how many guys play in New England, go somewhere else, and evaporate almost overnight. I mean,
well, you know what? You know what's very the guy I just mentioned is Chandler Jones, I'd have to get back to my column last week, but I believe he has now played the same number of games for New England and for Arizona. And his production for Arizona has been twice what it was in New England. So Bill Belichick is not right every time. And it's like, you know what Jimmy Johnson a long time ago said about the draft? I asked him this question. This was maybe in, I don't know, like 92 or whatever. I said, why are you always making deals for future picks? What's the story? And he said essentially, and this is absolutely not a direct quote, but he said, look, I think I am smarter than a lot of people in this league, but I still am going to make mistakes on players. By getting all of these extra picks and using all these extra picks, it just gives me a buffer. It gives me a bigger margin for error. Because no matter how great you are, Ron Wolf once told me that general managers in the NFL, if they're really great, will bat 333 on draft picks. That they'll be right. You know, like, hey, if you bat 333, you're going to win a batting title. So that's good. But I think most people would say, well, that's not that good. Well, you look at the vast majority of GMs in the NFL, and they don't bat 333. And what he meant is really good players. 1 out of every 3 that you take are going to be really good players. And hardly anybody in recent NFL history has done that.
Hey, Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
That's 333 right there. I want to bring it back. Peter King here on 95.7. So Nick Bosa has been impressing, I think, everyone. We just talked with DJ Jones. His teammate says he's built like a Greek god, and there's no one that he can compare him to. I mean, I'm comparing him to Lawrence Taylor, who was the last guy to be Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season. And I don't know if we can go quite there yet, but it's a prodigious amount of production at an unforgiving position for guys early in their careers.
What I thought was so amazing the other day, and again, look, I think it is, this is a week-by-week deal. He's played 7 games in the NFL, and he's been fantastic. And I went back and looked at the 18 players who have been top 5 picks in this century at sort of the edge rusher, defensive end, outside linebacker position. And in my opinion, the only guy he compares to right now, early in his career, is Julius Peppers. And I don't mean to glorify him all that much, but when I watched that game the other day, I just said, there are not many people who can make that interception and can avoid, I talked to him after the game, to avoid the chop right at the knee and then get up and make this incredible interception, which was ridiculously good. And may I remind you, to everybody who forgot, that I'm not sure that that's his most incredible play of the year. I might say that his play of the year so far has been when he walked Andrew Whitworth back into Jared Goff and forced Goff to make a terrible throw against the Rams a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you know, Andrew Whitworth has been one of the best free agent signings ever. He is a classic, excellent left tackle. And on that particular play, you know, Bosa made him look like, you know, a high school freshman. And so, to me, I just think his all-around game has been so impressive.
So last week we talked to you about the Emmanuel Sanders deal, and you said, like the trade, I don't think it immediately makes them Super Bowl favorites, but good deal. I'm curious, after watching what happened on Sunday, how much credit do you give just the presence of an extra high-level receiver for how open things looked for the Niners' offense?
I mean, look, I in no way do I mean to devalue Emmanuel Sanders at all.
No, totally.
But the San Francisco 49ers right now are blowing people away because of their defensive front and because of their running game. That's and you know what? Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, they did a smart thing in going to get Emmanuel Sanders, because what he does is he makes a defense unable to simply say, we are going to focus totally on the, on Jimmy Garoppolo in the receiving game. We're not going to be able to do that. You saw what happened the other day. You know, Coleman was just a dominant player in part because now a defense that's a good defense has to be honest and has to play smart against a very good receiver. And again, I have to emphasize, I do not mean in any way to criticize or to downgrade Emmanuel Sanders. You know, he's a good NFL wide receiver. But acquiring him did not make them a Super Bowl favorite. Acquiring him allowed them to be more diverse on offense so that they can do all things better on offense.
I want to ask a weird question going back to Nick Bosa.
Shocking.
If Tom Telesco and John Lynch are forced into a room surrounded by guards with rifles and they have to trade Bosa's, which team has to throw in the extra draft choice, and how high a draft choice would that be?
Well, the Chargers would have to throw in a draft choice, even though Telesco wouldn't do it. But the Chargers have to do it for a very simple reason. Nick Bosa has been a better player very early in his career. And again, look, the reason why I keep saying, okay, I love Nick Bosa. Anybody has to love Nick Bosa. But we have to let it play out for a while because, you know, that's the way the NFL is. 7 weeks is 7 weeks. 7 weeks is not four seasons. And, you know, Joey Bosa, when totally healthy, has been as impactful as his brother. But we have seen 7 weeks of a totally healthy Nick Bosa, and all we can go by, the classic Bill Parcells, you have to go by what you see. And all we can see right now is that Nick Bosa has been available, and he's been better over a seven-week period overall than Joey Bosa has been, even though he's been very good when he's played. You know, he's been better over a short period than Joey Bosa has been over a long period.
Well, that's why I asked you what number draft choice it would be, because if you include all that into the argument, maybe it ends up being a fifth.
But the question is, Ray, the question is, if Tom Telesco had to make a decision right now and make a trade, I would have to know at that point from the Chargers, is Joey Bosa absolutely, totally, unequivocally healthy with no X factors in his physical being? If so, I'm not sure I would make the trade at all because, hey, look, Nick Bosa told me the other day, and he's absolutely right. He goes, a lot of what I'm doing is a tribute to the guys around me. And the fact is, Nick Bosa has a better supporting cast right now than Joey does.
And that's why I included the gunman.
Yeah.
Peter King, here on 95.7 The Game. An awful lot of roaring about NFL trades up to the deadline, but a very quiet deadline indeed. What'd you think?
I think two things happened. Number one, I think that...
most of the deals got done?
What's that?
Did most of the deals get done?
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. I think, for instance, Cleveland wanted Trent Williams of Washington, and I also think that Chris Harris Jr. was desired by three teams at least. But I think what ended up happening, you know, at the end of the day, that the value for trading for veterans, both, you know, with a couple of years or more left on their contract, the end of the last year of their contract, the value of those guys had been set by San Francisco and New England. So the trading teams, you know, like, for instance, the Jets with Robbie Anderson, the wide receiver. I don't think there was any way that Adams was ever going to get traded because I think that the Jets basically said, look, if somebody makes us an offer of, say, 2 ones, you know, for Adams, who's a top 10 safety in the league, easy, he might be a top 5 safety at his age, in this league, we're not trading him unless somebody blows us away, and nobody blew him away. So there you go. But having said all that, I think that was part of it, and I think the other part of it is that every single player that was on the block was pockmarked. So if you look at AJ Green, you know, has missed basically, including this year, 32 games in the last 4 years because of injury. He's 31 years old. I'm sorry, I'm not giving a one for A.J. Green. And then you look at Trent Williams. He, you know, is held out this year, and the previous 3 years he has missed 15 games due to injury. He's 31 years old. Why in the world are you giving a one plus, you know, or even a one, you know, at a good level? The Cleveland Browns were, you know, wanted Trent Williams, but for Cleveland to trade a one for him, you have to think, is Trent Williams, a 31-year-old injury-prone tackle, worth a top 13, top 10 pick? Because look at what Cleveland is. That's what they're going to be at the end of this year. They were making the Trent Williams trade for basically for 2020 and beyond. So to me, when I look at the trading deadline, I think that nobody wanted to pay the really big, really significant market value for players based on what New England and San Francisco gave for good and not great receivers.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr joins us in about 6 minutes from right now. It's time for a little lightning round here with Peter King. Just quick stuff to go through a little a business of the league. Is it time for the Bears to punt on Mitch Trubisky?
Chase Daniel should be starting for the Chicago Bears right now because it's very clear that you know, that the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, does not trust Mitchell Trubisky.
Is Miami trying less than they were 3 weeks ago?
Miami tried a lot last night because they had the dumbest single play and formation in the 2019 season when they blitzed a bad quarterback with eight rushers that they didn't need to blitz and got caught for a touchdown at the end of the first half. That's the reason the Steelers won. I mean, the Dolphins are a dumb football team. Right,
could we take it a step further and say we got a coaching staff throwing a game almost?
I can't say I don't know anything about that. I can just say on that play right there, that was a stupid play call.
At the beginning of this interview, you put the Niners in the class of the Patriots. My question is, if they were playing on Sunday, who would you pick to win? And assuming you'd pick the Patriots, what do you need to see from the Niners to switch that?
I need to see the Patriots get throttled or beat up, or I need to see something happen in Baltimore Sunday night that shows me that Belichick can't figure out everything. Because they're going to play a good team. This is the first really big – they've played eight teams in the first half of the season. You might argue that the best team they played so far was Pittsburgh. But they weren't the best team because Ben Roethlisberger was just a schmo then. And in my opinion, this is going to be a legitimate challenge for the Patriots. And if they are rocked to the canvas, and get hit to the canvas in the fifth round by the Ravens, then maybe I'll change my mind. But I'm one of these people, until proven otherwise, give me the Patriots.
Is Ben Roethlisberger as a schmo worse than Mason Rudolph in his second start?
Oh, he was terrible the other day. I mean, I know he won the game, but who has confidence in him? I'm playing the duck guy next week if I'm Mike Tomlin.
No, I just the thing that struck me very quickly is that New England and San Francisco have played roughly the same schedule, and the team they had the most difficulty with was the same one.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that because, I mean, look, their defense is good, but they're not a very good team. That's all. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Let's wrap up with this, Peter. There are numbers in baseball they say we're never going to see again. We're never going to see another 300-game winner as a starting pitcher. Will we ever see another pro coach cross the 300-win threshold the way Bill Belichick just did?
If that coach has an all-time quarterback, yes. But without an all-time quarterback, no. It'll never happen again. Because to average, you know, 11 games a year, 11 wins a year, whatever Belichick has averaged, is absurd. But again, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Anybody who knows football has to love Bill Belichick, but they also have to acknowledge the simple fact that he's got the greatest quarterback of all time playing with him, unless you argue Montana. And if you do, that's fine. But he's got one of the two or three or four best quarterbacks to ever play football as his quarterback. And you've got to consider that that is a factor in what Bill Belichick has done.
Peter, outstanding as always. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.